Good afternoon. We come here to our afternoon service at Calvary Baptist Church here. Also, to those listening and watching over live stream and listening to FM station here, welcome, and please open your hymnals on 210. 210. Saved by the blood. 210.
Thankful again that we can sing this song with confidence. If we are saved, we can know that we are saved by the blood of thy Son, Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for his willingness to come to this earth, willing to die on the cross of Calvary, willing to shed his blood, and willing to be buried. But we're thankful also that he rose from the dead 3 days later, and that he ascended back up to glory and is in thy presence today interceding for us. We're thankful that we have the privilege of coming to thee in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that thy will would be accomplished in the life of each one that's listening today. We pray for thy blessing to rest upon each one, and that each one would know thy peace and truth in their hearts. We ask that thy will be done, and continue to pray for our governments, that we might see individuals saved within our governments. We pray for boldness and being willing to speak the truth to our governments where we have opportunity. We pray for thy will to be accomplished in regard to those that are needing physical healing in their bodies. We pray, Father, that if there's a need for their salvation, that they might want to turn to Thee and be forgiven and saved, first of all. And we know that our bodies are frail. We know that we are under the curse, and that sickness is part of that curse, and that sometimes we do not recover from sickness. But if we know Thee as our God and Savior, then we know we have a home in heaven. So we pray, Father, for those that are not well, that they might see the importance of knowing Thee and trusting in Thee and resting in Thee. We ask that Thy will would be accomplished in regard to the nation of Israel. We continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we ask that Thou continue to guide and direct in our service that we have in the Philippines as well, that we can be a help to those people, and that they would be strengthened in the inner man and know Thy peace and truth. Pray for those that are listening via our live stream. We thank Thee for the opportunity of reaching out into other homes and other people's lives, and just pray that each one would receive a blessing from our time together this afternoon, and that we would have our hearts prepared to hear from Thee and to allow Thee to do Thy work in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And over to 230. saved. And over to 294. 294. Savior like a shepherd. 294.
And turn with me to Proverbs chapter 27. Beginning a new chapter today, Proverbs chapter 27. We're going to read there the first three verses of that chapter. We'll stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 27, beginning there at verse 1, it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both." Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again this afternoon that we have Thy Word, thankful for these words of wisdom that thou hast given to us as people, that again we can know how to live our lives, we can understand what is important, we can watch out for those things that are dangerous, those things that are wrong, and we can also identify who we are, whether we're wise people or whether we're fools. And we're thankful that we have a God who loves us enough to tell us the truth, a God who speaks plainly to us so that we can understand. There's nothing complicated, there's nothing ambiguous about thy word, but it's clear, and even a child can understand. We pray, Father, that as we know that even a child can understand, and yet many times children and adults refuse to listen to thee. We ignore the truth. We use distractions to keep us from actually hearing what thou would say to us. And so we pray this afternoon that each one that is listening would truly be listening, that we would set aside those things that would hinder us from hearing from thee, that we would ask thee to work in our hearts so that we can receive that which thou hast for us. We pray for anyone that is lost, that they might see the importance of turning to thee in repentance and trusting in thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, alone for salvation. We thank thee that we are given this privilege, this opportunity once again, to allow thee to examine our hearts and to teach us. I pray that we would be teachable today. May thy will be accomplished, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this afternoon is Trust God Rather Than Your Own Plans. Trust God Rather Than Your Own Plans. Proverbs 26, this proverb we just finished with, has much to say regarding the fool. The fool in the Bible is someone who says that there is no God. The fool is someone who sets himself up as being wiser than God. And the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. There are people in our world that go for counseling. They go once a week, they go once a month or something, whatever it is, that they go for counseling. They seek help from some individual, and there are people who have their offices and they have above their door counselor such and such, and they charge a fee for people to come and receive counsel for them. Well, God knows what our needs are. Human counselors sometimes can guess at what people are actually going through because, you know, we have a way of deceiving people. We can deceive ourselves. And a person might go to a counselor and say, I have this problem. Can you help me with this problem? And many times when people go to see a counselor, they say, I have this problem because of so-and-so. They don't want to actually address their own need, but they want to blame it on somebody else. But when they tell the person, I have this problem, they're sometimes skirting around the issue. They don't really want to come out and say what's really going on, because maybe they're embarrassed, maybe they're ashamed, and maybe they just don't want to address what's really going on. Well, the book of Proverbs is a book that God addresses every issue that man faces. And he doesn't wait for us to say, I have this problem. He knows what our problems are. He knows what sins we have and what sins can cause us to stumble, what temptation, I should say, can cause us to stumble. And so in the book of Proverbs, God lays out very carefully and very clearly everything that we need to know in regard to how to live the Christian life and how to avoid the many pitfalls that there are in life. So it's a very good book to read. My wife and I, for years now, we have read a chapter in the book of Proverbs for every night that we have been alive. There's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and for the months that have 31 days, we read a chapter a day. That gets us through the whole book. If a month has 30 days, we read 30 chapters. But every night, we read the chapter that applies to that day. And that's something we've done for a number of years now. And I can't quote to you the book of Proverbs from memory. There's still much for me to learn. But it's very helpful for us to read that every night before we go to bed. And it helps us as we go to sleep that our minds are focused on things that are real and true and not on something that we heard on the news or something. But we are listening to God's word and allowing him to speak to us and also to give us his rest for the night. And so it's very helpful to pay attention to what God says. And of course, that's for Christians. If you're unsaved, there's much in the book of Proverbs and much elsewhere in the Bible that you're just going to close and say, well, I don't get it, and so I'll leave it alone. But that's not the answer. That's, again, why the local church is so important. The local church is a place where people can come and be instructed in the Word of God. The pastor of the local church is supposed to be a man of God who is studying the Word of God and is careful in being able to explain the Word of God, teach the Word of God in such a way that he is faithful to the text. Not taking in and veering off on something that is not there, and not making it say something that it doesn't say. That's very important. None of us, anybody that reads the Word of God, should never read it with our predetermined ideas and say, now I'm going to go to the Bible and prove that my idea is right. We need to come to the Bible and understand God's Word is true. And I may have an idea on something, but I'm going to bring that idea to the Word of God, and I'm going to let God check my idea and see whether it's right or not. I want to be right with God. I want to follow Him faithfully. So as we look at the book of Proverbs, that's what we can learn. We can learn that many places in the Bible, but the book of Proverbs, God has focused in on counseling us, giving us that direction that we need for our daily lives in all areas of life. So the first thing that we see is that each day can have its surprises. Each day can have its surprises. Now, some days for us may be the same as yesterday. There's nothing new happening. Nothing happens in our own lives. Nobody that we know has any problems, and things just seem to move right along. But there are days that we face when we get up in the morning and we may feel pretty good, but before the day is done, we may end up in the hospital with some major problem. Or there might be a day where we wake up and we don't feel good already right when the day begins. And so what God is telling us here in verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So we need to be careful. We all plan. We all plan things that we want to do, but we need to be careful how firmly we plan our days. And in the Bible, we see that God wants us to live for this day. He wants us to make the most of this day and not be interrupted by, I have these plans for tomorrow, so therefore today I'm just going to ease off. They used to say when I was a younger person that you should never buy a car on Monday or Tuesday or on Thursday or Friday, that was made on Monday or Tuesday or made on Thursday or Friday. Because on Monday and Tuesday, the workers in the car factories were coming off the drunk of the last weekend. So they're not working properly, and so their vehicle's not going to be made well. And then they said on Thursday and Friday, they're planning for the next weekend's party, so their minds are not on making cars properly again. So the best day of the week when the car should be made is on Wednesday, because that's when the people are the furthest away from the last party or the next party. And I think that's the way a lot of people live, not just people working in car factories. But you see, the Christian, he doesn't get so tied up in what's coming that he can't live this day the way God wants him to live it. And so that's very important for us to understand. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. I'm going to do this tomorrow. Well, you don't know that. You don't know that. You have no guarantee you're even going to be alive tomorrow. So you can't do that. You can't live your life that way and honor God. It says here, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So we don't know. There have been times in my life when I have started out my day in a certain way, and that has actually happened, that before the day was done, I was in the hospital in pretty rough shape. So you never know what's going to happen in that day. So therefore, it's not a wise thing to make your plans too firm regarding the future. And that's the way the Bible wants us to live. God wants us to live not a careless life, but a life of trusting in Him and understanding that what God gives us is today. He doesn't give us tomorrow. You know that? Nobody ever lives in yesterday. Nobody ever lives in tomorrow. Did you know that? We talk about tomorrow. We talk about yesterday. But you don't live there. Now, some people, lost people, they can't forget. And so, in a sense, they're always living in yesterday. They're living and they're hanging on to grudges from the past. And that ruins their lives. It's not a wise thing to hang on to things from the past. You need to learn to forgive. You need to learn to forget. You need to move on to what's going on in your life today. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 6, and he says there in verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not your life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Now, we have a young man in our presence who likes to measure himself against other people and see how much he's growing. But do you think that he's growing anymore just because he measures himself against somebody else? Does that make him grow faster? No. It's okay. You want to see how you're growing. But you see, by thinking about it, we can't make ourselves grow. And that's what Jesus is saying here. We grow because we eat. We grow because of the genes we have in our body that allow us to grow to a certain height, and someone else doesn't grow quite so tall. Someone grows faster than the other person. But it's not because we think about it. I'm going to consciously think, okay, today I want to grow 2 inches. You know, when you look at the crops, one crop that you can always watch and see how it grows is corn. You notice that? We've had some really hot weather. And you can just see that corn growing. That's something that's unique about corn. You can really see it growing. But we as people, we don't grow because we think about it. We grow because of God's design for us. So in verse 28, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." That passage and the verse that we have in Proverbs 27, verse 1, that passage would have been good for us to think on very carefully for the past 2 years. As our governments came out with their plot that they were laying out, which they had practiced, by the way, they had practiced it before they ever announced it to the public. There's evidence of that, lots of evidence of that. And you see, a lot of people, they were worried because the false model that was put together in England, which spread across the world, and the World Health Organization grabbed that false model, and based on that false model, they said, this number of people are going to die from this virus. And so people were scared. Instead of trusting God, they believed that lie. And that man had to admit that that model that he came up with was false. He had to admit that. And yet people are still to this day believing that lie. I mentioned this morning that the WHO said this week that monkeypox is now an emergency. Well, how did they determine that? They sat down and they had a committee meeting, and they determined based on the numbers of what they were seeing and so on that this is now an emergency. And the chief doctor of the WHO, the number of votes, the majority of the votes were against making it an emergency, but he said he had to break the tie. Well, it wasn't even a tie, but he cast the final vote and he decided, I'm going to declare this emergency. It's not based on science. None of this 2 years is based on science. It's based on the evil plot, the evil ideas of wicked people. But God says that we need to live this day, and we need to learn to trust God this day for His provision, for His direction. And if we would do that in every day, not just over the past 2 years, but the past 2 years, I think, have been a good opportunity for us to learn that in a very, very real way. But that's something that we need to learn, and something that I've been asking God, especially since the last 2 years, is to give me discernment. Because we don't have anymore, we don't have, sad to say, we don't have politicians anymore that are looking out for the best interest of the country. We have politicians that are looking for keeping their jobs and making money. We don't have doctors, sad to say. Many of the doctors today are not interested in keeping us healthy. They're interested in pushing an agenda. We don't have police officers today. Most of them also are not interested in protecting the law, but they're out there again to push the government agenda. So we can no longer depend, even our media, we cannot trust our media to tell us the truth. So now we have to become much more dependent upon what God says. Now, does God talk about the Wuhan virus? No. So how do we go to the Bible then to understand these things? Well, there are things that God tells us that we can determine, is this right? Is this true or not? And one of the things that the Bible does tell us is that, as we've looked at in Matthew 6 and also in other places, is that we need to trust Him for our daily provision and for our health. Do we not need doctors? Yes, we do. We live in a fallen world. So sometimes we need to go to the doctor. Sometimes we need to get a pill. We need to get some medicine to help us to recover from a sickness. But we don't need to go to the doctor and get a shot that's going to keep us from getting sick. Okay? We don't need that, because no shot can do that. In my lifetime, and I don't know exactly how far back it started, but I know that in my lifetime, they started coming out with vaccines for different diseases. Chicken pox and all that. I had chicken pox twice when I was young. I had measles twice when I was young. They say, oh, you don't do that. You don't get that. Well, I guess I'm not real then, because that's what I had. But you see, and that's with the shots. So, and now they tell us every year, go get your flu shot, go get your flu shot, get your flu shot, get your shingles shot, you know, it'll protect you. Well, no, it doesn't protect you. People still get sick even though they get all these different shots. And then they come out with this virus and they say, oh, you've got to have the shots to protect you from the virus. Well, people have had four shots. Biden has had four shots and now he has COVID. So, you know, what we're finding out and what the statistics are telling us is the more shots you get, the more susceptible you are to getting one of the strains of this virus. It's not helping, it's hurting people. But they don't want you to know that. They don't want you to believe that. They want you to think, listen to what we say, do as we tell you, and that's all. Well, the Bible tells us we need to trust God. We need to understand that, yes, our bodies are fragile, and yes, we can get sick, and yes, sometimes we need to go to the doctor. But if we learn to live healthy lives, we can protect ourselves from many things that sicknesses that are in the world. That's a reality. Some of the things that some doctors, true doctors, have been telling us over the past 2 years is that you need to increase your vitamin D levels. That will help. Do they tell us that in the media? No, they don't. They don't want you to know that. And it is a proven fact that there are a couple of drugs that were used. There's a doctor in the United States. He's dead now. He died. Not from the virus and not because of the virus. He had lung problems before the virus ever came, and he died. But he is one of the first doctors in New York that developed a regimen with vitamin D, zinc, ivermectin, and hydroxychloroquine. And every patient that he treated was cured from this virus. Everyone. He never had one failure. If they came to him early, he treated them, they were cured. They can't say that with the shots. But that's a reality. That's a fact. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's a fact. But yet our medical profession says, no, you cannot use those things. They don't work. This is the only thing that works. Why are they saying that? Because they have an agenda. They have a plan. You see, and so if we take the Bible as our authority, we can see these things, even though God doesn't address it directly. There's things that we can learn that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost if we're saved. If my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, I'm not supposed to do anything to my body that's going to harm it. If I know that there's something that's going to harm me, I'm not supposed to do that. So I know that smoking is going to harm me, I'm not supposed to do that. Drinking is going to harm me, I'm not supposed to do that. Those are things I know. The Bible's clear on that. And we also know, again, that's why if you go in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, something also that we need to understand. If you look at verse 29 of Isaiah chapter 40, it says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord. Sometimes there's emergencies that we face. When I got run over with a tractor, I couldn't sit there and wait and say, well, I'm going to pray about this and see whether I should go to the hospital or not, because I was bleeding. And if I wouldn't have gotten to the hospital, I probably would have bled to death. So there are times when it's obvious something needs to be done now. But there are times when we also need to understand, I need to wait and try to understand what's going on here. What is the best way to deal with this situation? And for me, when they first announced this virus back in the late 2019, to me it was very unusual the way they were rolling it out. It just seemed so strange. I'm not a doctor. I don't have to be a doctor. I'm not the smartest man in the world either. And I don't claim to be. But it just seemed strange to me, the things that they were saying about this. We've never, ever before locked down a whole world about a virus. Never happened before. And now they're telling everybody, social distance. At first, don't wear masks. Then we find out the only reason they said don't wear masks is because they didn't have enough masks. And once they got enough masks, then they said, well, now you should wear a mask. Everywhere you go, you should wear a mask. So there's no science there. It was based on supply, not science. And so there are things that have been happening in this whole thing that just don't add up. And again, if we look objectively at what's going on, we can see that. But if we follow the line of the government, then they tell us, well, you're a misogynist, or you're anti-science, or you don't care about your neighbor or your loved ones and all that stuff. And then people get scared and they get guilty and say, well, I guess, yeah, I better listen to them because I want to prove that I care about my neighbor. Well, I do care about my neighbor. I care about my family too. And so I'm going to watch out that I'm not going to do something to cause them to have harm. And so We need to stop and think. Wait on the Lord. What's going on here? How does this fit in with what the Bible teaches? And again, if we look at our text, you say, well, what does that have to do? Well, again, this day, today, we need to ask God to direct us moment by moment through this day. Because when I got up this morning, I couldn't tell my wife, I didn't know for myself, I can't tell you now how this day is going to end. I can't tell you that. Because I don't know. And you don't know either. But I do know, as a Christian, I do know that God is in charge of today. I know that. It doesn't matter what our governments decree, I know that God is in charge. And I can take the same response today as Peter and John did in Acts chapter 4. And so can you. If you're saved, you can do the same thing. And in Acts chapter 4, Peter's answer to those who wanted him to toe the line and follow them instead of the truth, in verse 19 it says, "And Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So Peter and John, because they were saved, because they believed God's word, they were convinced that they needed to follow what God said. Not what the other officials were saying. They needed to follow what God said. And that's the same thing that I need to do. I need to follow what God says for today. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about, well, if I do this today, what's that going to cause for tomorrow? I don't know. But I do know that if I follow God faithfully today, He will work that out so that tomorrow, if tomorrow even comes, He will work that out for His glory tomorrow as well. So I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to boast about tomorrow and say, well, tomorrow I'm going to do this. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Today is the day we have. This moment is the moment we have. So right now is the time when I need to act upon what God tells me to do right now. And what God tells me to do right now, because this is the first day of the week, this is the Lord's Day, this is Resurrection Sunday, what does God tell me to do? He says in the Bible that Jesus rose on the first day of the week. In the book of Acts and in the epistles, we see that the Christians gathered on the first day of the week. So what does God want me to do on the first day of the week? He wants me to go to church. That's not a question. I know that. God wants me to go to church. How much time should I spend in church on that first day of the week? Well, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. How much time should we be spending? You know, if I give God 1 hour in my day, is that enough on Sunday? Is that enough? Surely that's got to be enough. Well, what does it say in Hebrews chapter 10? It says in verse 25... Well, verse 24, "And let us provoke, let's consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Well, okay, let's go back to Acts chapter 2. How much more should we be doing than what they were doing in Acts chapter 2? Well, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it tells us there, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued," what's the next word? "Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, and as every man had need. And they continued," what's the next word? "Daily with one accord and in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." So how much should we be meeting together? Well, in the early church, the first Christians after the day of Pentecost, they got together every day. We get together Sunday and Wednesday night. That's not daily. They got together every day. What did they get together for? To talk about the weather? To play bingo? No, they got together daily to hear the apostles' doctrine. Breaking of bread and hearing the apostles' doctrine. Every day they were feeding on God's word. And we can go, I don't remember the passage now, but we read later on where Paul was preaching until midnight, and remember Eutychus fell out the window, right? And they went out and they thought he was dead, and Paul came down and said, he's not dead. And they revived him and brought him back up. And what'd they do then? Paul preached till morning, didn't he? They didn't stop because this boy fell out the window and, oh boy, we got to get him home. He's got to get his rest and we all need to get our rest. No, and they kept going till the following morning. They were hungry for the truth, and Paul was willing to teach them the truth. See? So when we look at our text again, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. No, we don't know. But we do know what God wants us to do in the day. If God intervenes in that day and something happens that changes the normal pattern of the day, we need to learn to take that in stride. And maybe there's something we need to learn from that. Maybe there's something we could have done different that wouldn't have caused the problem that we faced that day. But we need to learn to walk carefully, obediently with God, and trust in Him for this day. And when we learn that pattern, then we don't need to be concerned about tomorrow. Yeah, we can plan. I'm going to cut the grass tomorrow. Okay, that's fine. Maybe I won't, though. Maybe it's going to rain. But, you know, we can make general plans. But we don't need to make firm plans and say, this is it, I'm going to do it. And because when we do that, then we get disappointed because we can't do what we plan to do. That's the danger. And we get all out of sorts over something that really doesn't matter, rather than trusting God to direct us in doing that which does matter. So that's the important thing that God is seeking to teach us throughout the Bible. Walk with Him this day, trust in Him for this day, and follow Him. You know, there are countries in our world where they do that much more than we do. There are countries where they don't have, you walk into your house today, and I'm sure if you walk into your kitchen and open the cupboard, you got food in there, right? You open your fridge, you got food in there. You might have a freezer. You open the freezer, there's food in there, right? So you don't even have to concern yourself with going to the store tomorrow to buy something. You have food in your house. But there are countries where they don't have that, where they need to go to the store every day to buy the food that they're going to eat that day. They have a greater opportunity in those countries to trust God, because we still need to trust God, but we tend to get the idea that we have everything, so we don't need to trust God. It's a danger of living in a land of plenty. And in the time of Christ, they didn't have food for weeks on end. They had to trust God to provide for them on a daily basis. Even that the men, the 5,000 men besides women and children that Jesus taught all day, there was only one lad that had a lunch alone. It doesn't say anything about the others bringing a lunch alone. One lad had a lunch. And Jesus took that little bit of food that lad had, and He made that food spread out enough to feed all of those people, which was at least 10,000, probably closer to 15,000, fed them all, and then they gathered up 12 baskets full afterwards. So the lesson that Jesus is teaching, many lessons, but one is, again, that we just live for today and trust God to provide. Not because, again, not because we're lazy, but because we're doing His work. We're listening to Him and glorifying Him. And we're allowing Him to direct us. And as we read there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and that verse 33 starts with what word? You remember? But. That's right. So instead of worrying about the things that Jesus talks about above that, he tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And what do we often do? We look at our time, we look at our schedule, and we say, well, if I have time, I'll go to church. But it better not be too long because I have this to do and I have that to do and so on and so on. No, God should come first. And if God comes first, then our priorities many times will change, and a lot of those things that we thought were so important, we discover they're not nearly as important as we thought they were. And life becomes more fulfilled because we're not worried and planning all the time for this thing and that thing and wasting time and money on stuff that doesn't last anyway. We find satisfaction, contentment in serving God. James says, Paul says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. The second thing that we see in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2, it says, "There we don't boast of what you know." In verse 2 it says, "Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips." There are a lot of people who live to be praised. There are a lot of people that think they should be praised for everything they do. We're trained that way from young on. We're trained that way in our educational system, that we need to be praised. And we get that idea in our head that we need to be praised, and so then we get that idea, well, I better praise that person for what he did because, you know, I need to do that. They need to feel that they did a good job. When we look at the Bible, if you go in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 15, it says there, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So who do we need to find approval with? God, not man. And if we're going to live for God, we're going to find out that there's not going to be that many people that are going to be approving of what we're doing. That's the reality. That's the biblical reality. If we're going to live for God, we're not going to find that many people that are approving of what we're doing. That is contrary to the philosophy of this world. But it's the biblical teaching. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. And if you think that you need to be boasting about what you can do, and you want people to notice, yeah, I did that. Yeah, I did that over there. Yeah, I made that. And yeah, this has got my name on it. And I'm the one that did. You know, see, if you live that way, you got a problem. You're pretty empty. And if someone else wants to come along and say, wow, that's a nice job, I wonder who did that, that's different. But if you're living for that and you think that I got to have that, you're pretty empty. You're pretty full of yourself. In Judges chapter 9, we have the case there of a man who made himself a king, who wasn't appointed by God. Abimelech made himself the king of the nation of Israel. In the book of Judges, we have different judges that ruled the nation of Israel. And those judges were appointed by God. But Abimelech, he decided that he was going to make himself a king. He wasn't appointed by God, but he's going to make himself a king. Well, there were others that didn't agree with him being the king. And one of those people that didn't agree with being the king, him being the king, was Gaal. G-A-A-L. And so in Judges chapter 9, we come down to the near the end of that chapter, and it's probably about the middle of the chapter, verse 38. Well, let's go to verse 37. It says, "And Gaal spake again and said, See, there come people down by the middle of the land, and another company come along by the plain of Meoninim. Then said Zebul unto him, Where is now the mouth, wherewith thou saidst, Who is Abimelech, and that we should serve him? Is not this the people that thou hast despised? Go out, I pray now, and fight with them." So Gaal was a man who didn't agree with Abimelech being the king. And Gaal tried to get his own following. So we've got a real division going on in Israel at this time. And so Gaal's got his own following, and he's despising Abimelech. And now Gaal sees this army amassing itself against him, and so he talks to Zebul, who was one of the top men, and he's talking about all these people that are coming together against him. And Zebul is kind of taunting him. And so he reminds him in verse 38 about where his mouth was at. He had been boasting about who he was and how that he could take care of Abimelech and all the rest of that. But now this army is amassing itself against him, and he doesn't know what to do. And if you read that whole account, you find that Abimelech chased him away. Gaal couldn't stand against this enemy that he had created, and it was not a good thing. He had boasted of what he could do, but he wasn't able to match his mouth. And that's a danger that we have sometimes, is we talk big about what we can do, but really we're not as big as we think we are. And so we need to be content to just live our lives for God, serve God faithfully, trust God, and leave the results in His hands. If nobody recognizes your work, that's fine. Did you do it for man or did you do it for God? The Bible tells us that everything we do should be for God. So it doesn't matter whether anybody sees it. It doesn't matter. What matters is, was I faithful to God with the things that He wanted me to do today? And if I was, that's good enough. You see, we were fixing a person's vehicle, and afterwards they were all excited that we got their vehicle running. And the man took it for a drive yet, and he was so happy. But you know what? That man also promised they were both going to come to church today. Guess what? They're not here. See, their words really aren't worth that much. They were so happy with that work that we did for them. But they're not here today. And this is far more important than fixing a vehicle. Far more important. But they're not here. And they said for sure, they mentioned it several times, for sure, we'll be there tomorrow. What time? And we told them. And then, but they're not here. See, this is more important than fixing a vehicle. And so, you know, rather than getting all puffed up, yeah, we did a good job, we fixed that vehicle, you know, that's a minor detail compared to people listening to the Word of God and being saved. Minor detail. Because you know what? When that person dies, that vehicle is going to stay here and their soul is going to go into eternity. And right now, it's not going to heaven. So, we need to be careful. Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. Someone else wants to say thank you, well, that's good. That's good. But it's more important that we make sure that we're serving God faithfully and that He is pleased with what we're doing than if some other person is pleased with what we're doing. Our flesh wants to be praised. Our flesh wants to be noticed. But God wants us to glorify Him. That's what we're created for. That's what we're saved for. We're saved to glorify God. So that's what we need to learn. Then the third thing that we see here is watch out for a fool's wrath. So we mentioned already in the introduction, in chapter 26, God has a lot to say regarding the fool. And here in chapter 27, He is giving much counsel to the wise person, but He also interjects here in verse 3. He warns us again. He says, "A stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both." Now, if you take a stone, I know in the front of our church here we have some little stones. Jeremy can pick them up. They're pretty small. But you go out into a farmer's field and you pick up a stone that's, oh, I don't know, maybe 10 inches in diameter. It's a pretty heavy stone already. Jethro wouldn't pick it up. Jethro and Abigail wouldn't even pick it up. It's pretty heavy. Only 10 inches in diameter. The stone is pretty heavy. So, you see, God says that stone is heavy and sand is weighty. If you have a bag of sand, you don't need to have a very big bag of sand and you won't be lifting that bag. Some people in the wintertime, they take sandbags and they put some sand in it and they put it in the back of their vehicle for traction. It makes the vehicle heavier in the back and gives them a little more traction on the road. But a 50-pound bag of sand, if you take that 50-pound bag of sand and you put it beside a 50-pound bag of feathers, there's quite a difference in the size of the bag. They're both 50 pounds. But you're not going to take the same size bag that has 50 pounds of feather and fill it with sand and lift it up. And so God says that sand is weighty. You take a shovel full of sand, there's quite a bit of weight there. But God says, in contrast, He says, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. There's more damage in a fool's wrath than there is in a stone or in that sand. Now, again, if you picked up a stone, we know that Stephen, in the New Testament, he was stoned to death. We know that the Apostle Paul was stoned at least twice. And the one time he was left for dead. Stephen was killed with the stones that they threw at him. They didn't have little stones like we have in front of our church. They were bigger stones than that. And they bruised him, probably broke his skull, maybe broke some other bones. And the Bible says that he went down on his knees, he prayed to God, and then he fell and he went to sleep. He died. And they threw those stones intentionally to kill him. But God says the wrath of a fool is heavier than both that heavy stone or that weighty sand. A fool's wrath does more damage than that stone or that sand. So the caution here is, don't hang around with a fool. Don't hang around with a fool. You'll get in trouble with him. He'll drag you down. You'll become like him. You don't want to be a part of that. Don't spend time there. Spend time with those who can help you. Learn things that are helpful for you. Allow God's word to speak to your heart and to direct you. Because a fool is irrational. He's unpredictable. You never know what his next move is going to be. He cares about himself, and that's it. He'll use other people for his own evil ends. That's the nature of a fool. So you don't want to spend time with them. And God tells us here the fool's wrath. So the fool, he gets angry. And his anger is not justified. He's not angry because someone has broken God's law. He's just angry. Something didn't go right for him, and so he's angry. Jesus was angry when he went into the temple and he saw them defiling his father's house. That was justified anger. But a fool's anger, that's not justified. And here it's called wrath. And it's not a good thing. And it's going to make a mess of his own life, and it's going to affect anybody that's hanging around with him. So don't be there. Don't be a fool. And don't hang around with a fool. Spend time with God's people. Spend time learning God's truth. Spend time learning how to control your emotions so that you don't act like a fool. And don't be a fool, so be saved. No saved person can be a fool. But sometimes saved people can act like fools. If we don't listen to God, we can be influenced by wrong ideas, and we can act like a fool. Someone looking on would say, wow, that person's quite the fool. What a shame that is when a Christian has that testimony. So we need to be careful. We need to think about what we're doing. We need to think about where we're receiving our counsel. What are we listening to? And what is it doing to us? And God's word is designed to help the unsaved person to know how to be saved and to know God's peace. And it's also designed to help the saved person to know how to grow in Him. So God's word is a benefit. It's designed to help us. But the fool is not there to help anybody. He's just going to drag people down. So don't be around him and don't be like him. Be careful how you approach life. Don't plan too heavily for the future. Look at this day. What are you doing today with what God has given you? And be careful in how much you think that you are really worth, how good you really are. Be careful about that. Someone else wants to thank you for doing something good. Well, okay, say thank you. An important thing, I think, for us as Christians is when someone says you did a good job, well, I try to say, well, praise the Lord. Because He's the one that has given me the ability to do what I did in a good way. It's not me. It's God that deserves the praise. He is the one that has enabled me to do the things that I do. And so that's important that we understand that and that we seek to help others to know the true God and to trust Him, to know His blessing and to know His peace. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again that we have Thy Word. We're thankful again that we can spend this time studying Thy Word and for these words of wisdom that we have here in this text. And how important it is for us to understand again that life is not about us and not about our plans, but it's about Thee. And our plans should be that we want to please Thee. We want to glorify Thee. We want to know Thee, and we want to do Thy will. And I pray that that would be true for everyone that's listening today, that that would be our priority. We want to please Thee. We know that was the desire of Thy Son when He was on this earth. He said, not My will, but Thine be done. And He was Thy Son. And yet on this earth, He submitted Himself to Thee, to doing Thy will. And we know that that was His will as well. He allowed Thee, and was directed by Thee, even in His humanity, to do Thy will. And I pray that we would want Thy will to be done in our lives as well. We would want to know Thy peace first of all, and then we would want to live for Thee in such a way that we can be a light to those around us who need to hear the truth, who need to be saved, that we could help others to know thy peace and forgiveness. So we pray that thy will would be accomplished in each one of our lives, and may we give thee the glory for the things that thou hast accomplished through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.